You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to some of the racing on Wednesday. A little bit later on this edition, it all gets underway here on Racing Radio 150 with Bath, Catterick and Lingfield, the three afternoon cards. Then we've got evening racing from Leicester and Sandown domestically, plus there is racing over the Irish Sea at Nace as well. So six meetings to go at on Wednesday. You'll hear it all live from 1:50pm on Racing Radio. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio on today's edition by the Baron. John Babb, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes,
good.
Enjoying the cool of the studio.
Yeah, because it is roasting outside, and it's set to continue for the next few days as well. So it's going to be a pretty quick conditions ahead of the likely weekend's racing. Before we get stuck into some of Wednesday's selections, can I start the podcast today by talking barrier trials, which have sort of crept into the thinking of punters, etc., over the last few months. We know they're very popular. In some of the jurisdictions abroad, they're almost the norm in some of the jurisdictions. We're seeing more and more of them in the UK. We're seeing a lot more sort of...
Well, we're not seeing them, are we?
That's the thing, yeah. They're taking place, yeah. Allegedly. We're seeing more two-year-olds looking a little bit more forward. They know their job because they've ran in these barrier trials. You're obviously a racehorse owner yourself, and I gather that you've been dipping your toe into the water.
Yeah, there always seems to be a new topic to move on to, whether it's, you know, sectional time seems to never go away, but it was wind operations, and now it seems to be barrier trials. There was somebody came on yesterday wanting to know about when horses are in foal. That one tends to come round every year, because obviously it never comes into it in the winter, but in the spring and summer, that's another little hot topic that comes around. And there'll always be something, I think, the weighing of horses. There's all these topics that aren't out in the public domain that seem to the public want more information. Now, I had my first experience of actually going to one. One of my horses ran in one, which I only got the video of at Lingfield, but it was certainly a help, a horse that was missing the stalls badly, on occasions getting left 15 lengths, 20 lengths at the start, and then it did some work at home, went to a Witherford barrier trial at Lingfield, which went particularly well for him, and it was a successful trial through the race as well, but the main thing was about the stalls, but he did win the race as well, and obviously he came out after that and won his race. Okay, well, you know, people should be saying, well, what, shouldn't we have known that?
Yeah.
I've got sort of I think unless it as we touched on yesterday, I think unless it goes blanket and they're official, I'll touch on the little things in a minute. That's just my background to it. First, I'll explain then. I went on then to go to attend one at Wolverhampton last month, which again it was all sorts of horses. Some of the horses are actually leaving their yards for the first time since being bought as yearlings and attending a race course, which often people have taken them to a race course, which it's fairly commonplace to give them a run around the track, give them an experience of things like the railings, just having a walk around, race course stables, travelling in a box and that sort of stuff, and just before they go to a race, which a lot of trainers have used for many years. I see this as being just an add-on to that. I think many trainers, not many trainers, there are certain trainers I think have been very guilty of doing very little stalls work with horses. And I could almost bet big odds on that when a newcomer of theirs goes to the races, they'll be missing the stalls by five or six lengths at minimum, if not more. And it happens time after time after time. Now, if we had forced barrier trials like they do in Australia, where every horse has to have one before they go, and they're a bit more official, I'm sure that would happen less and less. So you'd get less differential between at least the starting point of the race. But as I say, they do grade the trials. So you enter for usually four or five, whether you want to deem them races, or four or five trials, and then the horses get allocated together. So you'll be asked at what level the horse is, whether what age it is, etc. So it seems that the real babies all get put together, lacking experience, yep, etc., and they're all in one race. But then there'll be some races where there's older horses that have had stalls issues, stalls problems, again, or they might be 3 years old, 4 years old, and never run in a race, and they'll get put together. So they are thought about who's running against what. You do get the odd one where there's an older one in against younger ones, but that's just because of the way it is, and there's only so many stalls. Obviously, the preparation is obviously that they go there, that they go into the saddling boxes at the track, that they walk around what would be the pre-paddocks, rather than the actual paddock, and then go out onto the track with jockeys who are paid. Now, when it started, it was almost like a sort of a voluntary thing, you know, give a jockey a few. But that actually a set fee now, right, for the jockey. There's an entry fee for the trial as well.
Okay.
So it, they're not sort of unofficial thing where nobody's paying anything.
Yeah, yeah.
There is an entry fee, which is not much different to a race fee, and a jockey fee, which is only just a little bit less than a jockey's riding fee. But in some ways, you could actually see it is a little bit more dangerous, because some of these horses are going in the stalls for very... although they are in very good hands, because obviously the Witherford team are there, as well as a team of stall handlers.
Yeah.
So then they go down to the start, and what happens is, usually... Up to 10, but probably less than that, usually probably about 8. They're going into the stalls, and then they just, first time, they spend plenty of time with them going in, then they stand there for a little while, keep them standing, and then they just jump out. So they'll then jump out, and obviously they won't pull them up straight away, but they'll just run out for about a furlong. Then they'll come back, and then they'll repeat the process.
Okay.
And at that particular point, then they run out. Oh, you know, I mean, they're not knocking spots off them. I mean, nobody's bothered particularly, but it's not about winning.
Yes.
But they do run out like a race.
Okay.
But there's no finishing, there's no officials there, there's no photo finish, there's no timing equipment, yes, or anything like that. So if anybody's going to time these things, you have to do it yourself, which I actually did just out of a point of interest. I just timed the races, videoed the races, etc., because I found it interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody else was doing it, but it was just, I found it interesting. After they finished, I did notice that then Roger Varian's boxes turned up, and they had their own trials afterwards, just Roger Varian horses,
okay,
and his own jockeys, Azzini turned up,
yeah,
not to ride in the earlier trials, but just to ride in the Varian,
okay,
trials. So obviously the Witherford team stayed on afterwards for a private session with Varian horses only.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I've got absolutely no doubt that these things are happening behind closed doors. Maybe,
yeah.
I mean, Godolphin have got their own training centre in Newmarket. These things are probably happening every week.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, with stalls, and they're probably running out, having their own private stuff, and loads of work going on. I dare say at Ballydoyle as well, they're doing all this sort of stuff. It's just obviously it enables smaller yards access to go to this and get professional help from something like the Witherford team, which is really, really good.
Mm.
It may well be that in 5 or 10 years that this is taken a step further, but when you consider how many yearlings are bought and how many two-year-olds hit the track every year, they'd have to be doing these 2 or 3 times a week.
Yes.
And they're probably in March and April and May. They'd probably be on virtually every day, and I'm not sure that there's the manpower there for it. So at the moment, where they're probably doing 3 or 4 days a month, we're a long way from being able to get to what Australia's got.
Sure.
Our horse population's bigger for a start off as well.
Yes.
So. Yeah, but it is very interesting. Whether you glean that much from it, because at the moment you've got big variations. There's no issues with weight. Nobody puts weight in saddles. You haven't got to be at a certain weight.
Yes.
So sometimes you'll have a jockey. I mean, the trial I saw, I think there was a jockey who can do less than 7 stone riding,
really,
in a race where I thought one of the riders was probably near a 10 stone.
Right.
So the variation was almost like watching a session of work at any yard where you've got very light girls,
yes,
and probably the, you know, stable head lad or something riding, and the weight difference is absolutely massive.
Sure.
And these races were a little bit like that. So whether you glean that much from them, I don't know. But at least if somebody knows that one's been, you expect them to be a little bit more professional at the start by the fact that they've been almost given a sign-off. Although you don't get a sign-off, well, I think if a horse was giving trouble at the start, they'd probably go back for another barrier trial. You probably wouldn't. I think it'd be a funny trainer who saw his horse causing loads of trouble at a barrier trial and then entered him for a race next week.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So you'd find that a little bit odd.
Yes.
So, no, it's interesting, but I think we can shout all we like. I think because of manpower, I think we're probably a very, very long way away.
Okay.
And I mean, 5 years plus from it being something that's going to be in the public domain.
Very interesting to hear, though. Thank you very much for sharing your experience of them with us. We're going to turn our attention onto Wednesday now and a few selections to look at, starting with, I suppose, a potential double. We're not looking at the actual prices at the time of recording this before racing starts on Tuesday afternoon. But fingers crossed if some of the forecasts that we've looked at are anywhere near accurate. The 3:20 Lingfield and the 4 o'clock Bath, John, as a starting point, there might be a couple that could combine for a double here if the market complies.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes we all know you've got to be a little bit sharp off the blocks with some of these.
Yep.
But it was difficult not to be taken by the performance of Sir Mark Prescott's horse Distant Chimes the other day at Wolverhampton, in beating a horse that goes well at the track. Well, he's not the quickest horse in the Dascombe Yard by any stretch of the imagination, Charlie D, but he does go quite well around Wolverhampton. This horse had finished second to a horse that was running well at the time last year, Lexington Empire, and he came out and I thought he won in the style of a horse that's going to run up a typical Sir Mark Prescott sequence. Evident straight away when you went on to the entries. I think he got three entries off the back of that win,
right.
Some of them on the grass, and he's chosen to stay on the all weather, which I think is probably a wise choice. Could have done with a bit of a better draw, but I think a mile and a half at Lingfield, it's not going to come into it too much. I thought he won with plenty of authority, and you look at the field that he's turned out against tomorrow, there's some of these that are probably going to struggle to win races on what I've seen from them. It doesn't look to have a lot of depth to him. Horses like Hackbridge are very, very difficult to win with as well. And getting a little bit of weight from a horse like that, I'd be very surprised if Distant Chimes can't put him away. Obviously, the problem might just be the three-year-olds getting the weight for age allowance, particularly the horse down the bottom, maybe Sowers D with Sylvester Book for Andrew Baldwin. But I would expect Distant Chimes to go on, and I'm seeing forecast prices around 7 or 4, 15 or 8, and I think if I was seeing that, I wouldn't be waiting to try and find bigger prices. Put it that way.
Yes, fair enough.
And then obviously you've touched on the next race being what, the 4 o'clock.
Yeah, the 4 o'clock at Bath.
Yeah, and then I think we've got a similar situation here from, but slightly different in the sense that we've got 2 3-year-olds in the race against 3 older horses, and one of those 3-year-olds looks a horse that's on the move. That's Clive Cox's Heritage, who's had 2 visits to Bath and run on firm ground, and he's won very easily in both of those. First time in a maiden, where, to be honest, he just breezed along to be one of David Evans's horses, and then obviously went there last week in a handicap and again won very, very readily. Bouncing off the surface. Now, obviously, Clive Cox has seen that the horse has come back a couple of times off the firm ground without any problems, and he's more than happy to go back there for a decent prize tomorrow. Some old sticks like Boom the Groom up against him and Rose Berry. But they're just not in any great form to be taking on a horse that's likely to jump out, even from the widest box in 5, and basically dominate the field. Storm Melody has been going well and won at Bath, followed up at Salisbury recently, but this is a fair step up into Class 3 company. We'll be staying on, but I'd be very, very surprised if he's got the ability to mow down the progressive 3-year-old Heritage from the Cox Yard. And again, I'm seeing prices around 7 or 4. I wouldn't be surprised if this horse went on off a little shade of odds on, I have to say.
Really?
I would expect to see this horse go off tomorrow around about 10 to 11, 5 to 6 in that region. That's how I'll be looking at the prices for this race. So that potentially, if they're singles, if they're there at the prices I'm thinking, maybe you want to have a couple of singles, and I'd be surprised if they both got beat. But then if they're shorter, maybe you want to have a little bit of a double. They're 2 horses that look ahead of the handicapper. They're both running with penalties, and I would suspect that they're going to go up more than their penalty as well. So you've got a little bit in hand as regards to handicap.
Okay. Distant Chimes in the 3:20 then, and Heritage in the 4 o'clock race. Don't forget you can tune into all the action on Racing Radio from 1:50 on Wednesday afternoon. John, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.